Hey, everybody, thank you so much for being with us today. Welcome to Speak Up. It's Tuesday, and my name is Barbara. And we have a great show coming your way. And you know, I can say that honestly about all of our programs because truly it's actually not about me. What makes our time together valuable is about my guests, the information they bring, and getting the facts that help us all form our opinions or decide how we're going to vote. And today is the same. My guest is Dave Bowman. Dave is involved in various community activities, but today we're going to focus on his role as Northside Fire Commissioner and volunteer. I'm asking about the Northside District levy that failed last spring and the adjusted levy that failed just this month. I'm actually surprised, I got to tell you, that it didn't pass. And so we're going to look at this issue today together. All that's coming right up right after these messages. All right, everyone, welcome back into the program. As promised, Dave Bowman is my guest today. Dave, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Well, we're talking about the Northside Fire District levy, and I have to tell you, as I said in the intro, I was really surprised that it didn't pass, actually. What about you? Were you thinking it would or wouldn't pass?
I have to talk about both levies, I think, here a little bit, because we had the one in May, which honestly, there was so much pushback against it, I would have been very surprised if it passed. The second time, I was much more hopeful. Mm-hmm. A lot of people's awareness was raised over the Sunset Fire and also of the results of the first one, and we changed what we were asking for this time. We cut it in half, the amount that it was going to raise, and so had we asked, a permanent levy needs a two-thirds vote, and a two-year levy only requires 50% plus one, which we got. So had we been asking for the two-year, it would have made it. I was much more hopeful the second time around, disappointed. Not really surprised, though.
Okay. Well, I want to say why I was surprised the second time around, because it was half the amount that you were asking for to increase, even though it was a permanent levy. I was surprised because here in Sandpoint, the city did a really great job, which I think you guys did too, in explaining for us the wastewater issues, what the major costs were. Lots of people showed up at the information meeting. Nobody liked $130 million, and yet there was this need, and it became clear. And really, as a result, it was in our collective best interests to do this. Now, here in Sandpoint, we approved an increase per month of $100. $1,200 a year on top of what we're already paying, but yet we could see what, you know, this was our time to step up and do it. Well, when I looked at the Northside Fire District, I saw the increase, Dave, was $20 a year per 100,000. So if you had a $300,000 home, let's say, you were increasing what you were already paying by $60 a year.
Yes.
I just couldn't get over that. And I just thought, well, what a good deal. This is a good deal.
One would think, yes.
One would think. So let me get to then deeper into what you're thinking. Why didn't it pass? I mean, the numbers were extraordinarily favorable, but they didn't like it.
So a significant difference between what happened in Sandpoint, I think you have demographics as a huge part of it. I mean, let's be forthright, there's a fair amount of the Sandpoint voter base that's probably tax me to the max.
They love taxes.
Yes. So, but aside from that, Mayor Grimm had no restrictions in going out and advocating for it, where we as fire commissioners are not allowed to. Mm-hmm. Firefighters can't if they're in uniform. They can't stand in front of the Walmart in their uniform and say, please vote for this levy. It's forbidden by state law. So we were hobbled, and
Well, Mayor Grimm felt that he could not lobby yes or no. He could explain the facts.
Actually, that's true. So I misrepresented that there, not intentionally. It's just my ignorance.
No, I understand.
We and the Republican Central Committee here was a huge part of that. They went to, they filed, I don't know if it's they or Scott Hernan personally, but anyway, filed complaints for the language that we were using to explain how the levy was going to be, how it would be used. And actually, that was, in fairness, that was more of Selkirk than Northside. But we were all doing kind of the same thing.
So there was some communication issues on. So just for the record, because really people can come back to this program if you run another levy, which I would think you're going to have to or something.
We either run another levy and it passes or we start cutting back our – we cannot maintain our current level of service with our current budget. Okay. Cannot be done.
Okay, so let's get then to what, and we can repeat this again when the next levy comes up, would be what will you do with that increased amount? I mean, we can deal with what you're doing with the current amount, but what about the increase? What were the plans, or what do you think the plans will be for an increase?
So in May, when we wanted the bigger levy, the bigger ask was, and it was in response to what we've heard from the people in the district, we were going to staff the Samuel station. So right now, Northside has four stations, only one of which is staffed, and that's the one in Ponderé. We ran, and so the people who live in the north end of the county had voiced to us, and we did, you know, we were at the county fair, and we talked to a lot of people, and we had a district map up there with response times. You know, it takes us 10 minutes to get within this radius kind of thing. And what we heard was that people would very much wanted that Samuel station to be staffed. And we ran tests. We would run code from Ponderé out to various addresses in the Sally Valley in North Samuel's area up toward Elmira. And then we would run the same call from Samuel's, and we took the difference in time, and it was significant.
You know, Dave, we talked about this very thing before the vote with Vern Roof and Bob Frank, and we must have said this three times, because I did not know until I sat down with them that there were four stations, and one has an actual person there ready to pick up the phone and jump in the engine, what we all think we see on TV, what happens, right? Stop eating the chili soup and get on the fire
Stop
truck.
Whatever you're doing.
It is one guy, one person who's in there, and all the other three stations are unmanned. So tell our audience.
Just to be fair, it's actually two now.
Two, because you
closed our minimum staffing. No, at Ponderé Station. That came. I pushed for that when
Push
I first came
what?
On the board
Fewer
to
or
go
more?
For, to a minimum staffing of two. It used to be minimum of one.
Okay, so now we've got two in Ponderé.
Yes.
But the other three are unstaffed.
Correct.
Okay.
And also, we have three in Ponderé now because the third one comes from a federal grant.
A third person.
That's going to run out, yes.
Okay, well, hallelujah for Ponderé and the people that are close to it. But what I don't think people understood was what you were telling me on the phone when we were, you know, chatting about this. And that is for a fire that's in the northern part of the district, then there's got to be a phone call to somebody's private home or their cell phone. And they'll explain to our audience. I mean, it's like, no, there's nobody there in the station, in those other stations, good to go yet.
And that's a remnant of the volunteer program when it was more, I mean, we still have a volunteer
whatever
program.
Whatever it's a remnant of, it's awful.
It's the model that can be afforded at this point. And the volunteer program, Chief Armstrong, and I want to say he has taken a lot of heat over the things that have gone wrong. And we are so fortunate to have Chief Armstrong. I mean, I thank God every day that he is our chief. He has done an amazing, he was handed a mess and he's done well with it. But as he points out,
response time is what we're after.
Yeah. So The volunteers, if they're active, is a force multiplier.
If they exist.
They exist, and there aren't very many of them.
Exactly.
There's a handful.
Yeah.
But, for example, I live in the Sally Valley. We have pagers and radios and whatnot, so we hear a call come in. And if it's a structure fire or a major wreck or something like that, then I'm going to head out to Station 2, which is, it's like 3 miles probably. So
which may take a while to get.
It takes a bit, depending
yourself.
On road conditions. Plus, maybe I'm out in the dog with in the woods with my dog or whatever. So it takes a little bit of time to get in your rig and get there, and then get the station opened up, get your gear on, and head out. So that's probably 10 minutes or so, maybe a little bit more, before you're on the road to whatever the incident is. That's okay if you have a model of that, because now I'm getting there in time where they've exhausted their water supply. Maybe the guys need to be, somebody needs to be rotated out for rest, and I can go in, whatever. It kind of works if you have the volunteers and the equipment to make it happen.
Who are you coming in behind? Who is there already?
Well, that would be the first out from Pondere.
Okay, if they can get there before you.
Well,
yes,
they likely will. I mean,
yeah,
even
because
okay,
gotcha.
they're going up Highway 95, lights and sirens. They're you know,
but
it's a distance.
It is a distance. Okay, so that really struck me as incredibly kind of a, for me, if I were owned a home in the district, in the northern further reaches of the district, I would feel like I had kind of a faux sense of security, knowing that the station that's manned is in Pondere, not Samuels. What are the other stations that are?
There's one in across the road from Pack River Store.
Okay, Pack River Store area.
And
Samuels is
yes,
the other.
Yes.
And the other one, the third one?
Is on Highway 95 okay. In Bronx, right? So north of Pondere.
Okay.
South of Selly Road, north of Pondere.
Okay. So, but they're not manned. I was just stunned. I mean,
I think a lot of people are under, who've moved here from somewhere else, especially if they came here from a city.
Yeah, yeah.
Are under the impression that these stations are manned.
So I just wonder how many in the Northside Fire District really understand these are unmanned stations, depending on.
Hard to say. I mean, we got that message out as best we could.
Okay.
But then you also have people under some of whom say, well, I live out in the Tules and I understand the risk.
Yeah.
And I don't want the station manned.
So they accept.
But we had a voter turnout of something like 24% also.
That's nothing.
So who you and the loudest voices against the levy, the loudest screamers, it's interesting because I was listening to Scott Hernan on the way in here in your last interview, and he talked about people screaming the narrative, and people should go into the voting booth not listening to the people screaming the narrative, but do their own research.
Do the facts.
Committee and a few voices in the Central Committee were screaming the narrative that we waste money, we're running EMS calls when we shouldn't be running them, and all this other stuff. And people, the few who voted, voted according to that rather than doing their own research.
I know.
So here we go.
Hey, listen, I'm totally into that. You have to research, and you can get a lot of that research right here at Speak Up.
Yeah.
You know, we can't cover everything, but we cover as best we can.
In the first levy, we ran 100 between Selkirk and Northside, 118 public events. We spread them out at different stations, different times of day, different locations, different days of the week, to give people an opportunity to please come in, ask us questions, look at our books. If you can find waste, please tell us. We'd love to, you know, and you could count the response on one hand pretty much.
The people that did show up were some of your volunteers or firefighters,
for the
families
most part. Yep.
Of that are involved in it, or interested retired firefighters like Bob Frank. Okay, we're up against a break. We're going to take that break right now. When we come back, I want to talk to Dave about this whole issue that seems to cloud the issue of a fire district levy, and that's property taxes. So we're going to get into that right after this. Hey Okay, everybody, welcome back in. I am so glad you're with us today. My guest is Dave Bowman, and we are talking about the Northside Fire District, and you may wonder why, since they had two levies last spring and just this November, earlier this month, and they both failed. And we're here talking about why did they fail, because I have to tell you that I was 100% surprised. I thought the second levy would totally pass. All right. Tell me what you think, Dave, about this, because I'm thinking that people conflated the issue of a fire district levy asking for $20 extra a year per 100,000. And they put that up against, they were really angry about property taxes. They don't like property taxes. You never own your property. And it's just, you know, it's such a bad tax. And they conflated those, and those are two separate issues. You want your property tax changed? Go to the legislature. You want fire protection? Then vote for a levy. You got to have your fire protection, however you get it, however you pay for it, right?
Yep.
Okay, comment on that. Go ahead.
Okay, well, I'm in complete agreement that the property tax, the whole state, the tax and revenue system in Idaho is deeply flawed, and it needs an overhaul in the biggest way. And I despise property tax. I think it's wrong. One of the few things I might agree with Scott Herndon on.
I was going to say you and Scott need to go have coffee together and make up, because this whole thing about property tax is his number one priority, and he agrees it's screwed up. It's messed up.
Yeah, it's also a great campaign thing to say. But I mean, if you can actually do anything about it or not, but that's where the issue lies, is with the property tax system. It is wrong. It is flawed. And we have this issue here where in the state of Idaho, and especially in Bonner County, where growth isn't paying for itself. So we're limited to this 3% increase. I'm on a fixed income. I don't like paying more. Our growth has far exceeds 3%. And so the burden on services and infrastructure goes up as more people move in. I have found that throughout my various activities, I think the overwhelming majority of people who live here don't understand how the revenue and tax system works. And the fact is, when people move into the district, the burden on the infrastructure and service goes up. Their property tax goes down because it's the budget.
We share the burden.
It's a giant pie, and the more people are here, the slices of that pie get smaller, not bigger.
And everybody wants developers to get knocked in the head and, you know, pay their fair share and all that, and that's a different topic. The other thing people don't understand about taxes, and Dave, I don't know if you know this or if you can comment on it, but speaking of Scott Herndon, you know, I was saying, well, hey, you know, I'm really in favor of the state budgets through 2027. The base budget's going to be cut by 3%. And he said, that's the general fund. There are
I
all
heard
these.
That, yeah.
Did you hear that?
Yes.
All these other, and I was, just, you know, me. I'm just like, I am a glass half full girl. I think everybody's doing their best. And he told me, no, you know, they've got all these state budgets over here, and they're not at all reducing themselves.
It's
by
a
3%.
Shell game.
It's a shell game.
Yeah.
So what the heck, Dave?
So, and people understandably take the fire department, and we're guilty by association because we are affiliated with government. Therefore, we're playing a shell game.
Because,
and I want to say, I have said publicly and privately and on social media I have no idea how many people, invite them in. Please, you think that we're playing a shell game.
Audit.
The books are open.
Yep.
They are public record. Come
bring
on
your,
in and
bring
look.
Bring your CPA with you.
Whatever. And there's never been a taker for that.
I know.
The same people that are accusing us of all this mismanagement,
and
then they just say, well, you need to have a volunteer.
And I don't think they live.
The answer is volunteers.
And they don't live in the district either, I don't think.
The loudest screamers do not live in our district.
I know.
And I'm not going to say the name
again. But it's true. Yes. And it upsets me too, Dave. It upsets me.
So what's their motive? Why do they want it? Because what it looks like to me is
property taxes gone.
I don't think think that's a surface motive. I honestly think they want to take the fire department down.
Oh, I can't believe that.
Well,
That just doesn't even make sense. Why would anybody want that? Let me ask you another one. A part of the pushback against it was this feeling that y'all wanted to consolidate. You're all going to, if you can
regionalization.
Say, if you can do, I know exactly. If you can say a bad word in North Idaho, I don't know why consolidation. Honestly, I don't know why consolidation. I mean, I understand that you're going to share some control, but you do it in a quote unquote controlled situation. You do it thoughtfully. You do it because you're going to benefit from this, not just because it's that word.
Yeah.
So talk to our audience about what is the scream thing.
I remember when I was running for commissioner in 22, it wasn't you, it was someone else asked me what, you know, if we went to a countywide department, you know, and I said, well, if it benefited the taxpayers and if it resulted in a more efficient operation and if, then yes, I would support it. And I got roundly chewed out by the people that were helping me with the campaign at that time. Regionalization is this dirty word that also is brought forth by the same people who don't live in Northside District. But here's what we did. When I came on the board, we had a minimum staffing of one, but we happened to have two firefighters on every shift except for one. So we needed one more. Working with my fellow commissioners has been an absolute pleasure. We pull in the same direction with the firefighters for the best in the district. We ended up, and our chief at the time retired, and so we made a deal with Selkirk to bring Armstrong on as part-time, and that savings by not paying a full-time chief and becoming part of the regionalization allowed us to hire another firefighter without increasing our budget so that we could have a minimum of two. And if that's the dirty part of regionalization, I don't quite get it.
I don't get it either.
You eliminate overhead.
It's a good thing.
You eliminate overhead. You do not lose local control because in the Selkirk JPA, and we have a joint operating agreement with them. We're not part of that literally, but we work together, share resources all the time. The individual boards of each district, so you still have Northside, Segal, Westside, in this, and Segal and Westside are together formally. We're kind of informally part of that. We're sharing resources, but each district still has its own elected board. Giving up of any local control.
Each district still votes
their
district.
So these lies keep getting put forth of how we want to grow government. So you tell me, how is going from three chiefs down to one in three districts and adding a firefighter in without increasing the budget and maintaining local control in each district, how is that growing government? Well, then the crickets come in.
Yeah, they don't have any answer,
whoever they
are. The other thing is that, and I want to repeat this because you mentioned it, and when Vern Roof and Bob Frank were on, and maybe Jeff Armstrong last spring mentioned it, and that is this idea that you guys had, the fire district had informational meetings. You had 118 meetings. Was that just for the fall or spring and fall combined?
That was that was just the springtime.
For the spring.
And it was Selkirk and Northside both, right?
Okay. So you had all these meetings, and nobody showed up.
Virtually nobody.
No one showed up.
Correct.
And you just got through saying a 24% voter turnout.
Yep.
So to me, I'm mystified. I mean, I would never let my fire insurance, we'll get into that if we have time, and my fire protection be decided by a small minority out here that don't seem to understand the facts. With all respect, they are not receiving the facts. They're not even going to the meetings.
Unfortunately, it's a stacked deck because the people spreading the lies are not restricted at all, and they can say whatever they want, whether it's true or not, and then people believe, they look at the source, and you know, I'm a conservative Republican, but I do not, just because something comes from the Central Committee doesn't mean I take it as gospel, but people do.
Some people do, yeah.
Well, I think most people.
But I got to sit here on the radio with Vern and the fire district people, and that's why coming out of this vote, I can say legitimately, I was thunderstruck it didn't pass. I'm just like, how could this not pass?
I think that also you have this colossal misunderstanding of how the tax system works.
Right.
So people are under the impression that every time someone moves into the district, we get more money.
Yeah, right.
But we don't.
Yeah.
And so that, it's a shame, but I mean, I don't know how to.
The budget just gets divided. You get more money when a levy passes.
Yes. So in the levy, our current levy right now is the same as it was in 2017.
Yeah.
So more people have moved into the district, which spreads it out farther, and now we're back to the whatever it was. And I'm paying more for the library than I am for fire protection.
That is unbelievable. I'm going to get something else if we've got time during this segment. And that is, you were talking about stipends, that commissioners and volunteers get stipends for their service. But these, many of
used
these...
Used to.
First, about the commissioners, that the commissioners gave up the stipend. How much was it?
$150 a month.
$150 a month. And you guys, when did you give that up?
In November? Probably last spring sometime or other. I don't remember precisely. But we, you know, I put it forth to the other two commissioners and said, you know, if you're okay with it, I think given that we're in a financial fix right now and we're being accused of wasting money and spending money that we don't have on things that we shouldn't do, then why don't we give up our stipends? So we did, and they instantly said, yeah, we're done.
Okay, and I missed when you did that. I'm sorry.
I don't remember exactly. It was last spring, around the levy time, probably before.
Within the last year. What about volunteers? They get a stipend. Did any of the volunteers give a stipend? I would hate to think that they gave up a stipend.
I gave up my stipend as soon as I became a commissioner, because I didn't want people thinking that I had some...
Double dipping on those
big stipends. Oh, yeah, because, you know, that whole... So I get $100 a month for being a firefighter and another $10 for being an EMT. But I gave that up. And now what we did is we're going to sunset out the volunteer program now, because it is... Like anybody who's there and they're active... They stay on, but we're not, because we can't financially, it doesn't work.
Right.
So we're phasing.
They're either going to volunteer or not.
Yeah.
That kind
and
of a
stipend. So that $100 a month, we voted a couple months ago to say we're going to stop that too.
All right. We're up against another break. We're going to take that break right now. When we come back, everybody, we have more information for you. I know it may be too late for this past levy vote, but I want you all to be thinking about the next time around when Northside Fire or any fire district is coming and they want to have public meetings and tell you what is actually going on. So I hope that you will do that. No blame on any of those 24% voter turnout people. I believe that they tried to do the best that they could, but you can't vote correctly or with a right way of thinking, I believe, unless you know the facts.
True.
So there we go. All right, we're going to take that break. Everybody, welcome back in. I am again so glad you're with us, talking with Dave Bowman today about Northside Fire District. We're talking about those two levies that didn't pass and why. And just FYI, I didn't realize, I hadn't done the math yet, but the spring levy that didn't pass was cut in half, and the fall levy was cut in half and it didn't pass. All right, Dave, again, thanks for being with us. You've got a lot of information. I want to get to EMS. Some of the criticism is about why do you respond to EMS calls?
Yes, we've had a lot of criticism for that. And, you know, what people are saying is that we, I don't know, somehow or other that affects our budget, although it doesn't really a lot. we respond, and we don't respond to all EMS. We respond to major incidents. We don't go, the boo-boo incidents where somebody sprained their ankle or whatever, we don't respond to. If EMS gets on a scene and they see they need help with a lift assist or something, then they can call us and we'll come. But if you think about it, there are lots and lots of times when, so all the ambulances have two staffs, usually a paramedic or two and an EMT, so two people all together. And they get on scene. Well, if oftentimes we get there first and a lot of times the grunt work, we're taking vitals, we're going and getting stuff, we're handling the gurney, that kind of thing, while they're doing the actual serious, paramedic type stuff. If we weren't there, they would have to have another ambulance there lots of times. We've got, sometimes very large people that we have to maneuver where you can't do it with two people. You have lots of times we drive the ambulance back because whatever the situation is, that both of them need to be in the back. Mm-hmm. So one of us will drive the ambulance to the hospital, that kind of thing. If we weren't doing that, that would require more staff and apparatus for EMS. Meanwhile, I don't know why people think that the firefighters should be sitting at the fire station watching a movie or something at 8 o'clock at night on their off time. And now let's send two ambulances. Well, now the EMS budget has to go up. Also, EMS, Sheriff's Department, they are not trained or equipped to cut people out of cars, to do technical rope rescue, all the kind of stuff that we are set up to do, and it is what we do. Mm-hmm. Why in the world would you want to fund the other agencies to do that same stuff because you don't like the fact that we go on a medical call? It's insane.
Yeah, Dave, this may be, kind of an unprofessional approach that I'm thinking is that I want the guys and the volunteers, whoever needs to be called out, to be called out periodically. I think it sharpens their ability. It keeps the equipment. You find out gear that isn't working. You learn, every time you roll out, you learn things. And you're only rolling out, as you said, with major
stuff.
Major stuff going on where you can really help. And you do help. But I think it's just great for training, great for sharpening, and great for working together.
I hate to say training, but experience, but for
experience.
Sure. I know what you're saying.
Okay, I like that word better, too, because that's what I mean.
Yeah.
And it's also working in concert with Idaho State Police, Sheriff's Office, EMS.
Build those relationships.
And
the teamwork and all that, yes.
Okay, what about recruiting volunteers? You guys need volunteers, but everybody complains to me, cannot get all the volunteers we want.
Yeah, The title of my book, when I finally do retire, really retire, is going to be The Last Volunteer, I think. We have a volunteer program. We ran 5 new recruits through last year. We now have 2 left. And it's just, as much as we would love to have it be a workable program, it hasn't been. And the reason why, a typical model for a volunteer is to come in, get the training, get the experience, and a year or two down the road, off they go to Spokane Valley, where they can start out at whatever they're starting at.
A job, and
a huge salary. And then, for people that want to stay in this, I think all of our paid staff, all of them, are former volunteers. And some of them volunteered for 10, 12 years or whatever before they finally, yeah.
As well it should be.
But we have young families where both parents are working. They just cannot or will not fit it into their life. And it's, it's a commitment. And you have to train. You can't just, we ask for 12 hours a month, 4 hours of training, 8 hours of putting in with a shift, which you can split in groups of 4 hours or whatever. It's not a big ask, and you just can't get people to do it. And another thing that came up during both levy campaigns, which was a blatant lie, is that the paid staff there has, and the administration, have raised the standards and made it too difficult for volunteers to volunteer and all of that is just balderdash. And I'm going to tell you that when I came in, even at my old age, where I thought I would be in a service role, I was welcomed with open arms. I can't, I love these guys. And anybody who comes in and volunteers is willing to put forth a reasonable amount of effort is welcomed. These guys will spend their personal time mentoring. I mean, they're just dedicated to the cause, and it's just hard to keep volunteers.
I feel like I'm living on a different planet. You could not offend me by saying, you know what, we want to set our really good standards, not impossible standards, but we want to set good standards for our volunteers. Because when that volunteer shows, okay, you guys aren't going to show up at my house, but when that volunteer shows at my house, I want him to know what he's doing.
Sure.
So how could that upset people?
And to be physically fit and have somebody
to be fit.
Some firefighter goes down in a house, I will. You know, you're putting your lives in each other's hands.
Yeah, his life is on the line, is the person in the burning building or the car that's burning or whatever.
And you have to, when you're cutting a car apart, it's pretty easy to get hurt if somebody makes the wrong move or whatever, or the vehicle isn't stabilized right or whatever.
Are we living on a different planet? I mean, what in the heck is going on?
I don't know.
I don't get it. I also don't like the lies. And I do like that you call them lies. We're not saying people, but we're saying the lies that were spread about, in particular, the fire levy. There were a lot fewer lies for some reason about the wastewater treatment. I think the wastewater treatment just got overwhelmed with facts. I mean, there was just and I don't think it was all the tax me, I love it people here in Sandpoint.
No, I just wanted to throw that out.
I know you said that, you naughty boy. You're very bad.
Also, sewage treatment plant is, if I understood the campaign stuff right, is required. It's going to happen. The question was, how is it going to get paid for?
Totally. Had to happen.
So in our case, we don't have to have current staffing.
They could have gone for less money. They had a choice, $80 million or go for the full shot, $130.
Gotcha.
They went for the full thing, and they had reasons why. But I think the other, not to spend time on that, but the other thing was, in passing the levy, we gave our city the leverage to go to the feds, go to the state, and go to private foundations and say, we've got this already in a bond, up to bond, and if we get other funding, it'll mitigate, it'll bring that down. So, but how much, who knows? I mean, everybody's just saying, we got to do it, let's do it.
Yeah. Could I speak to one more thing about funding?
Yes.
Okay. So one of the criticisms that we took throughout this thing was the fact that we hired 3 firefighters on a SAFER grant from FEMA, from the federal government, right? That grant was for 3 years for 3 firefighters, basically, but that's one per shift, right? We run 3 shifts, ABC.
Okay.
And we got roundly criticized by the same people that were putting out the other misinformation that's a terrible business model, right? We shouldn't be hiring staff with a temporary funding source. Well, we knew, I mean, we were very open about it. The firefighters that got hired knew that if we couldn't get other funding, that their job would go away in 3, like, we were open about it and then hoping that we would get the levy. At the same time, the same people criticizing that terrible business model, one of them's a county commissioner, and I won't name a name, but he knows who he is, have said that one of the things was that we shouldn't be asking for a permanent levy. So we should have gone for the 2-year levy. Well, what is the same people that are saying the 3-year SAFER grant was a terrible business model and only a fool would do it are saying that we should have gone for the 2-year levy, not the permanent, to keep our current staffing.
Yeah.
Well, which is it? And I think those are the kinds of things, and we're so restricted on what we can say. I appreciate that you brought me in here to be able to speak a little more bluntly.
Even though the vote has already been taken.
Yeah, but now I'm not so hobbled.
Okay, definitely have you back. No, definitely have you back. All good information from Vern Roof, Jeff Armstrong, Bob Frank, and still I'm mystified. Anyway, thank you so much.
And a hat off to Mick Adams, too, our other commissioner.
Okay,
sorry.
Oh, awesome. Okay, that is our program today. Dave, thanks for being with us. You know, next week I'm kicking off the holiday season for you with some gentle but good advice about healthy nutrition through smart food choices, through all all the foodie season from Thanksgiving through New Year's Day. Have your fun, but come on, let's be smart. I'm repeating myself, Dave. Can we be smart? Also celebrating America 250, you know I love to share beautiful quotes from America's founders. Today I'm quoting James Madison. He's known as the father of our Constitution for his pivotal role. He did most of the drafting of our Constitution and the Bill of Rights. What a guy. He was also the fourth president of the United States. This is what he says. Dave, this is for you and the Fire District and all of our voters that voted wisely. Knowledge will forever govern ignorance. Amen. Until next Tuesday, this is Barbara reminding us all to slow down out there, love each other, and may God bless America.